Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, June 29th. We're back from a three-day weekend, actually, which was not planned, but we'll take it, right, Jen?
Yeah, it was great.
So, did you make it a good day Friday for you?
Yes, I was very busy.
Very good.
Yeah.
Busy is good, you know?
I like it.
Yeah. Did you have a busy weekend, too?
I did Friday night and Saturday, and then yesterday I sat on the couch all day and binge-watched TV.
Wow.
I caught up on a lot of things.
Really? So you watched a lot of your series and things like that?
Yeah,
so
I finished... What did I finish? Grace and Frankie, and I finished... Oh, God, what else did I watch? Oh, Orange is the New Black, and I watched all of season three of Homeland.
All of season
three? Well,
How many episodes is that?
The thing was, I was sort of watching it while doing other things because I hadn't watched it in so long that I needed like a refresher before I started season four.
So you actually put on some things you'd already seen before?
Yeah, just to like remember what had happened, because Homeland is like very, you know, detailed and nuanced. So like you can't just start with a random episode. You have to watch it through.
So they're not like independent episodes? They sort
Homeland?
Of
Homeland? No, not at all. It's a story.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I did all that, and I relaxed, and...
That's still a lot of TV. How long is each show? An hour?
Well, no. Grace and Frankie's 30 minutes. Orange is the New Black is like 45, and then... I didn't watch entire seasons. I had like one here, then like a couple there, and then the other things were just on in the background while I was...
So which one do you like best? I mean, from all the shows that you've been watching?
They're different.
Yeah.
I don't have a favorite.
No?
No, I like all my shows the best.
Yeah.
That's why I watch those shows. They're like my kids. I don't have favorites.
Yeah. I mean, Orange is the New Black is definitely a hit, huh? I mean, when did it come out? Last season, right?
This was the third season.
Third season?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, it's still pretty recent, I know.
Yeah.
I remember when it first came out, I'm like, what, women prisoners? But I guess I never watched it, but I know it's very popular.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So who stars in it? What's the name of the star on the show?
On Orange is the New Black?
Yeah.
Taylor Schilling.
Taylor Schilling. Had she been in other things before?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. TV or movies?
I don't actually know, but I know she came from somewhere.
Okay. All right. So
how was your weekend?
My weekend was, it was hot. It was hot as hell. Although Saturday was nice, huh? Because it was overcast.
Yeah, it was
so it wasn't
gloomy.
Too hot. But my God, man, it's been pretty hot. And we're not used to humid here. And it's been really humid, too.
Yeah.
So that's unusual. But, you know, for the most part, we really can't complain. I had friends going to Palm Springs. They said it was less hot than it was here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
like,
weird.
It was like 109 in Woodland Hills or something.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. How high can you get, you know?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know.
But you don't get that in Hollywood. Somebody told me it was like 15 degrees lower or something. So, which is still hot, but, you know.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Yesterday, I went out to work out for a half hour, and that was it. And I picked up food.
Yeah.
And then I went home.
But you worked out indoors, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, do you understand the people that jog in 100-degree heat?
No.
Yeah. I mean, they're really dedicated, but I don't get it.
I don't either. It's not my thing.
Yeah. People are, like, too much into, I don't know. Some people are really into it. I mean, it's good to be into sports and everything, but you can kill yourself that way. So I don't understand that.
I don't either.
Yeah. So, yeah. Did I tell you about this belt I got from my mom? Did we talk about this?
No.
No? Okay. Well,
oh, yes, you did. You did.
I did, but yeah. for her back, right?
Right.
Okay.
I thought you meant like a belt. Just the belt. Just no, to wear. I was no, that wasn't news to
no,
us.
No, that was like for back pain, and I'm really excited about this. That's why I guess I'm bringing it up again, but I just wanted to let people know that you can listen to our show, I think from Thursday last week, and I talked about this. And I just wanted to share this because a lot of people have back pain and back problems and stuff. And there's this belt out there. It's called Dr. Ho's, Dr. H-O, believe it or not. Dr. Ho belt. I think you can also get there. They have a website that'll take you there. And it's called MedicareBelt.com.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody's into it, it costs about $130. You know, obviously by the name, I guess Medicare does cover it or something. But for the most part, it's still, you know, I think it's worth it. And what it does is that you put it on and then you get to inflate it with a little, small pump. And it pumps up the belt and it pulls your discs apart and everything. So there's not so much impact on your back. So you guys should definitely check it out if you have back problems. I mean, so many people. In fact, I was reading that different countries, major health problems. And in the U.S., it's back pain, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know why it's more prevalent here than anywhere else, but it's not like we carry heavier stuff than other people do, so I don't understand it. But yeah, that's the price we pay for walking on 2 feet.
Yeah, guess so. Yeah. I don't have back pain yet.
Good for you. Yeah. Well, it's not a question so much of age as to what you go through.
Right.
I mean, in my when I was like 20 years old, I think, I had hurt my back bad when we were unloading stuff from a truck and stuff. I had to, like, for 2 weeks, I couldn't work. And the situation was I couldn't sit down, I couldn't lie down, and I couldn't stand up. So, in other words, you don't have a position where you're comfortable.
Yeah.
And that was terrible, man. And ever since then, my back is pretty sensitive, you know, so you have to be really careful with your back.
Yeah.
Because God knows when your back's out, you can't do anything. You really can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so I told you I got a new car. I traded in my Mustang and I picked out a more practical car, an Escape SUV. And I love it, man. It's like fully loaded, it's got everything in it. And I'm pretty happy about that. And the funny thing is, you know, when you go to a car dealership, you have to know where you're going. You know, I mean, buying a car is like a whole adventure. Nobody likes it. It's like root canal, but you have to go through it. So I go to this dealer that I've been going to for like many years. We've bought like over a dozen cars from them over the years. And so I went there, but all the salespeople that I knew for some reason were gone and all that stuff. So I'm being picked up by this guy who doesn't know anything about anything. He's pretty new and offending me straight from the beginning about the odometer. Did you tamper with the odometer? Things like that. I'm like, come on, man. You know, this is not the first thing you tell somebody when they come into a dealership, when you let them look at your car. I just have low mileage. I don't drive a lot. So, and then the whole thing was just a train wreck. The whole process where I found myself leaving, they let me leave without a car. The first time I saw managers as I was pulling out with my car, he came running out. Yeah, we'll do this, we'll do that for you, blah, blah, blah. I left. They never followed up. So this weekend I decided I'm not going to let them get away with this shit, you know. So I went in. I asked for a manager, and lo and behold, you know, he was like blown away by the story I told him of how I was treated. So I got the car I wanted, and everything's back to normal.
Good.
So, yeah, don't ever give up. And if you go to a dealership and they, for some reason you end up leaving without a car, you know, either find out if it was really your fault or their fault. And because, you know, you don't want to start going from one dealership to the other. That's not good either, because every time they check your credit, they think that, why didn't they give him a car? Why didn't this, you know? I know that because I used to sell cars for about a year, which wasn't for me at all. I would argue with the customers all the time, which you don't do.
No. Clearly.
So it's not for me, but...
What kind of cars did you sell?
Ford.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But that was like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is that, you know, there's better ways to buy a car, but I know all this. So if you don't realize that, when you start going from one dealer to another, it hurts your credit because they each have to check your credit. And they can see, you know, a dealer can see that, hey, he's already been checked out twice at these two car dealerships. Why is he still looking to buy a car? Did they not give him a loan? Blah, blah, blah. So you have to be on top of it.
Yeah.
You know, but it just goes to show you credit is so important, you know, in this country, in this day and age. If you don't have credit, all the doors are closed to you.
Yeah.
You know, and some people, you know, they go through life events that make them lose everything.
That's true. That it happens. Stuff,
you know, luckily I haven't been through it, but I mean, I've lost a lot, but not in the form of money. You know, I felt when I was divorced and I didn't get to raise my kids in the same home, that was a big loss for me. You know.
Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah. I mean, I can't see that I lost everything. But you know, you never know. What about with all these TV shows, did you get to see any new movies or anything?
No.
Any recently run movies? No, huh?
No, I'm probably not going to go to the theater until I see Magic Mike.
Magic Mike. Yeah, that's right. And that's coming up, right?
You
said? Okay. What about this Ted 2 movie? Do you have any desire to see that?
I do, but I might wait until it's on TV.
Right. Now, did you see the first one?
I did.
Really?
Did
Was
you?
It funny?
I thought so.
No, I did not see it at all. It looked kind of stupid to me, you know, but then again, Seth MacFarlane, right?
It definitely looks stupid. It happens to be very funny, though.
Really, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because they project everything on this bear, right? On this teddy bear, everything that a person would think or a man or whatever, you know.
He's like the worst version of a person. But you grow to like him, and then it's just like you buy into it.
Yeah, I know. I kind of want to see it. Kind of want to see it. And you kind of like don't expect Mark Wahlberg to be in a movie like that, huh?
No, but he is, and he's great in it. And you believe his performance that he's best friends with this bear, and it's awesome.
Wow.
I recommend it.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you notice that most movies, if not all, in Hollywood are like male fantasies? You know, I mean, it's like when you think about it, it's like mostly white men writing all these scripts, you know. So a lot of it is I mean, at least I see it as men's fantasies. You know, this is what I would like. And that's so all these movies they make of impossible situations, you know, of like a woman picking up a guy and things like that that don't happen much in life. They project it into their movies, I think. And that's what you get, you know. So you get something like Ted, where probably every guy's dream to be able to be that honest and wild and careless, I guess.
I guess. I don't think that all writers
okay,
are white
all.
Men. But
no. I didn't mean all. Okay.
There's also a lot of, like, female-driven movies, like every rom-com.
Right.
So... Or like princess movies and things like that.
Yeah.
So. Or children's movies.
Well, that's a stereotype about Hollywood, what I'm talking about. But
yes.
Yeah. But of course, I didn't mean to generalize. It's just that it's sort of like a complaint I have against Hollywood is that, you know, these things happen. I mean, also on TV shows, like look at, I remember when I watched Two and a Half Men, you know, this is like, guys' fantasies, you know?
I think you also might watch the shows and TV movies or movies that
because
are like
I'm a
that.
Guy?
Right.
Okay.
So that might be where
so
you're
that's
driven.
What I'm picking out, right?
Exactly. So you might be the audience for your complaint.
That's probably true, huh?
Seems that way.
Yeah. No, I remember the movie American Beauty. Where he was jaded and burned out on his marriage and stuff. At that time, I could relate to it, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so sometimes I guess you can relate to it. It depends. What good, like, female-made movies did you like? Like, not necessarily a director, but let's say a script writer, you know, or, like where the story originates from a woman. Can you think of a good one? There's probably a lot of them.
Well, there's a million. Well, yeah. I mean, Harry Potter, the books were written by a woman.
Right.
Not to say Fifty Shades of Grey was really for quality, women. But
I know, I was going to say Fifty Shades of Grey. But yeah, that's not something to be proud of, yeah. I don't think. But there's been a lot of... I mean, I know there's a lot of great female directors, you know, and so forth, which really get credited for most of the film. But I'm just wondering, like, the ideas, where they come from.
I'm not sure offhand.
And what's amazing is there's never end... There's no end to all the stories, you know?
No, I mean,
you get
a million,
like, million
stories.
Movies, a million books, a million everything, and they're all different.
All different. And then there's a lot that don't get made.
Yeah, that's true.
But there's still ideas that are out there.
Yeah. What about you? Are you interested in writing fiction at all?
No. I don't even read fiction.
That's true, huh? So no story in you, but you have considered nonfiction, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we'll be waiting for that one.
Might be waiting some time, but it's okay. I have a long life ahead of me, and I'm going to do everything I want to do. It's just going to be over the course of a long time, probably.
Yeah. Well, so, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
I did start watching a new TV show, actually, this weekend called Mr. Robot. It's on USA. It's really interesting. It's about a hacker, and he's almost like a superhero. He hacks to, like, find bad guys and, like, confronts them.
Right.
And tries to, like, change their course so that he'll be like, I know that you did something bad. I'm going to out you, or you need to go do something like X, Y, and Z.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's really interesting. It's really, like, a dark... It's almost like a David Fincher movie.
Uh-huh.
It's really good. I recommend it. It's on USA on Wednesdays.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's called Mr. Robot.
Mr. Robot. Okay. We'll have to check it out then.
Yeah.
Sounds good. What was it that I wanted to say? I mean, there's just so much happening and stuff, but I wanted to, well, there was a story I was thinking about, but okay, whatever. So, yeah, I mean, there's cool books out there, and we should, I don't know, I mean, I kind of like the idea of book clubs and stuff, but it sounds kind of geeky, you know? I don't know.
What?
Like book clubs and stuff.
Right.
Because I'm thinking, you know, those are cool things for people that love to read and stuff. You know, you kind of share what you experience reading a book and stuff. But I don't think I could do that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I love to read and everything, but to do this with people, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. The reason I brought it up, because I was thinking about this, how, you know, some book clubs like Oprah would make a book. I mean, just by recommending it, it became like a bestseller, you know.
Oh, okay.
Many of her books and stuff, you know. So, yeah, go figure. I don't know. I guess the co-founder of the group Yes died. I love the group Yes, but for some reason, I never heard of him before. So, I'm more into the music than, you know, the members.
Oh,
stuff.
Got it.
Yeah. No, but he was a co-founder. Maybe he wasn't there to the end or something. But, you know, sometimes I just don't get that much into the band. I mean, I love the music, but I don't really get into, like, the names of who's who. You know, some of the bigger bands, you just know them. But,
yeah.
You know, because you grew up with them. Yeah. So, did you hear about this, like, explosion in the water park? This was in Taiwan. I guess there were a lot of 20-year-olds and stuff over, and teens, going to water park, like they have here at Hurricane Harbor and things like that. And I guess they were, like, sprayed with powder for, like part of the theme of the color play. Asia or something, where I guess they just wanted to color everybody with a powder or something. And apparently that powder was explosive, but no, or flammable, and nobody bothered to tell anybody.
So what happened?
So there was a huge explosion.
Okay.
Yeah, and fire and stuff. And about 500 people were injured.
Yikes.
In a huge fireball.
Weird.
I mean, they have like video of this. If you saw this, it would be like, you can't believe it. It's like part of a movie where you have stuntmen running into the fire and out of the fire.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out.
I know. I don't know if there was any, I think there's one person dead or something. Let's see. What does it say? No, it doesn't say about dead, but it says about a lot of people being injured and burned and stuff like that. So
that's pretty crazy.
Wow. I know. How scary is that, you know? And these things happen, well, not often and stuff, you know? But, oh, yeah, I guess a 20-year-old woman died from her injuries there. But all these accidents and all this stuff, man, it's just like you wonder why. You know, why all these things happen. But I guess that's what life's about. It's not about perfection. It's about trying to get there, I guess. Trying to get to perfection.
I guess.
What do you think the meaning of life is? Why do you think we're here?
Confused by where you were going with that, Sam.
Sorry. I'm just like meandering all over the place.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know what the meaning of life is.
No?
No.
Do you ever wonder why this universe was created or
no.
by whom? Or
no.
No? Physics doesn't appeal to you? Mm. That's interesting.
Well, I don't know that it's physics.
What about
also,
spiritually?
It's more like spiritual. Like why?
Right.
No, I don't think about that.
No, I mean, it can be physics too. You know, I mean, if you don't go into religion, then it's physics. You know,
I guess, but I feel like science is rooted in answers and facts versus the question of why. Why is more like a bigger picture.
Right, but sometimes you can't figure out the why, so you have to guess at it, I guess.
I guess. I don't know. I think then that would be, the people would go back to science, I guess, for why this universe was created was because of, people say, the Big Bang Theory or whatever else.
Right, but that still doesn't explain why, it explains how.
I don't have
the Big Bang, yeah. Yeah, that stuff interests me, you know. But the interesting thing is that Einstein, and I'm paraphrasing him, I don't remember the exact words, but he said the closer I, or the deeper I get into science, the closer I get to religion. Because I guess he felt he gets to a certain point where you can't answer these questions
right.
unless you go into religion and spirituality and stuff.
That's why I said what I said.
I know. Yeah. That's why I said what I said, because you reminded me of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and he also says God doesn't play dice with the universe, whatever that means. But that everything is well thought out, maybe. I don't know.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
That just, then, again, all that goes back to is just faith.
Yeah.
That you have to then believe in God, and then you have to believe that everything is meant to be. So whatever happens was already preordained.
Right, but then it's there's no self-determination, right? Then it means that the choices you make are meaningless if everything's predetermined, right?
I guess.
Yeah. So in that case, you're saying there's no free choice, not you, but the people that say that, no free choice, and I happen to think that we do have free choice within a certain framework. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, in other words, you have a choice whether to go A or B, but you don't have a choice that goes beyond the laws of nature. So like, for example, it's not up to you whether you can fly or not. You can make it a choice, but or whether you get burned by fire. You don't decide that. You can decide if to put your finger in the fire, but once you do, the consequence is preordained already.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what I mean. So I think there are choices, and that's why I don't think things were meant to be. Maybe in the big picture or something, but I can't imagine that there's a God that actually would guide everything that you do and judge every movement and every, you know, I don't know. I think there's free choice, and I think it's very clear. You know, people can do, for the most part, whatever they want. If they don't break a law, if they, you know, if they stay within ethics and things like that, there is free choice, you know, and maybe it's just convenient to think that way, because it'd be scary if our choices didn't really make a difference. You know what I'm saying? In other words, if it's all predetermined, it doesn't matter what we choose.
Right. I'm okay with that, though.
Yeah?
Yeah. Hmm. Like, if I'm making decisions because I was meant to make certain decisions and that was just the path I was on, right, at least I think I'm making it. It doesn't really matter to me.
Right. But then it's like you're pre-programmed, you know? I mean, what's the point? You see, that's what I'm saying. And then the, even in spirituality, then the why of why we're here,
I don't think that big picture, and I think that that also is a view that a lot of people that might lean toward a negative side think that way, or people that want to find answers. Like, I just think that I'm just happy to be alive.
Yeah.
And I'm happy with each day that happens.
Right.
So to think about, like, oh, that my choices don't matter, or, like, why are we even here?
Right.
Or why do certain things happen?
So that's like a negative thing to you?
I think, yeah.
But why? I mean, the thing is, we were given the ability to ask, to question.
And
to,
I
think, and you do. You question everything. That's what I
wonder, I question, you know? People. I don't question the bigger picture of the universe.
Oh, okay.
I question certain people and why they would do certain things, because I think I wouldn't do that. So yeah. I don't relate to the decisions made. But I don't question why we're here.
Yeah.
Because don't know that we know. I think.
No, we don't know. We never will know. I think that's part of the design, you know.
Just, I mean, think I think when it. Sometimes people look into, like, why, it's usually because, like, if some awful things have happened, you know, then they look at, like, how can we come from a God that lets things like that happen? Or why are we here at all? You know, it's more like it comes from a darker place.
Yeah.
Versus like a...
Well, yeah, but I mean, all life is not like lovey-dovey, you know?
Oh, and that's, I get it, I'm that's...
Life can be actually pretty cruel.
It can be.
Right?
It can be.
Wow. I mean, yeah, look at that ball of fire there. Look at all the natural disasters and things like that that happen. Accidents that happen to people all the time, yeah, you know?
Things like that do
things
happen.
Are not great, you know? So sometimes you have to ask yourself why, you know? And people wonder, you know, why was this loved one taken away from me? And why am I suffering so much? And things like that, you know? And the interesting thing is, one thing about the Bible, I'm not a religious practicing person, but I find the Bible fascinating with the lessons you can learn. And you probably read some parts of the Bible, right?
No, never. No, I mean, never? Whatever I learned in Hebrew school is what I learned.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. When I go to temple and there's a sermon and, you know, there's a story, right, that's used to teach you a lesson. Right. That's what I learned, and that's really what I,
right,
take away, but that's from more religion, like the as a whole.
But that's the point, is that that's more from a religious point of view. But there's a way to look at it from a scholarly and literary point of view, and the Bible as well. You know, where you're not, you're just taking the lessons from it.
Right.
So.
Well, that's what I'm saying in temple. It's right. Usually just the lessons that are taught in the
right.
sermon.
Right.
They're not saying go spread an ocean or right. a sea. Yeah. They're saying what that meant.
Right. I did take a class in college that was the Bible is literature. And that was an amazing look at the Bible, at all of it.
Yeah.
The Old and the New Testament. But the reason I brought it up is because the story of Job, and I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's I'll tell it very quickly, although it filled like a whole book in the Bible.
Right.
But the story of Job was that he was a rich man that had everything. He had a big family, had everything, and he was just obviously happy. He had a lot of property and all that stuff. So he had grandchildren and children and a wife and all that stuff. And so then they're telling you a story that God is having a conversation with Satan, right? Right there in the Bible, they tell you this. But, and there's, you know, and Satan is saying, well, of course he's, so they were talking about like faith and stuff, you know, and, you know, so Satan says, well, you know, if you, I don't know why Satan doesn't sound right to me to say. But okay, let's just say the dark side, okay? But they were, let's just say they were testing, they decided to test Job's faith. And so he says, well, of course he's going to believe in you because look at all the stuff you've given him. He's rich, he's happy, he's got a family and stuff. Let's see if you take anything away from him, what's going to happen. So slowly but surely, Job starts losing his family, his cattle, his wealth. Everything. I mean, every time something is taken away from him and he doesn't understand why. He's a very God-fearing man. Mm-hmm. And but he kept taking it and saying, well, if this is the will of God, then blah, blah, blah. And then finally, the lesson of this thing is when he finally asked God, he says, why? You know, why are you doing this to me and all this? And God essentially told him, were you there when I created all this? In other words, meaning you don't have the whole picture. So you don't understand why things happen. You can't go and blame God or blame anybody for this. You don't know. You simply don't know. You know, we don't have all the answers. And the thing is that you have to understand that you have to live within this framework. You know, and you know, if sometimes you think, you know, if we knew what's going to happen in the future, life would be totally different.
Right.
If we could I'm reading a novel right now about we talked to the author last week, to his last name is Douglas. What was his first name? I can't remember. But the guy that wrote Wired and Amped and all that stuff. So I'm reading a book now where the guy can read other people's minds. And it's the most terrible thing ever when you think about it. Sometimes we think, oh, this would be great and everything. But just imagine if everybody could read everybody's minds, life would be pointless. It would be totally different from what it is today. Right. You know. So
that's sort of my theory.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brought it right back there.
Yeah.
That's kind of my idea. Like, you don't know the big picture, and we're never going to know it, so why ask why?
Yeah, well, you know, we were given this this ability to ask why, so we do.
I ask smaller whys.
Yeah.
Like, more, plus, like, manageable things.
Okay. Well, yeah.
To each his own.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I sometimes think digging too deep is not a good thing either.
No, I mean, even when it comes to, like, I guess, you know, marriage equality that just got passed, you know, in the federal court. It's so great, and we're all so proud to be American, and it's just, like, a huge thing in history. But also, why did it take so long?
Right.
Why was this even a thing we had to pass? Why didn't we always just accept each other?
Yeah.
But we just didn't. So I'm just happy it happened.
Right. So you ask those whys.
Right.
Okay, but those have answers.
The answers are, it just took that long. People hate each other. It is what it is. Like, there's discrimination. There's been slavery. There's been a lot of things that have been embarrassing parts of history.
Yeah.
But at the time, that's probably what people knew. Maybe people weren't as evolved then.
Right.
They weren't as enlightened. They knew what they knew, and that was their limitation. And now, thankfully, well, we're at a place right now where it happened.
Yeah.
So I'm happy it happened.
Yeah, no, of course. And I don't think it could have happened anywhere else first other than here, because this is the freest country, most tolerant country in the world. And people might say, yeah, we have racism, we have social problems here and everything. True. But so does everybody else,
right.
You know. But I think for the most part, this is where freedom lives, right here. And I, for one, you know, and you brought this up, and we should probably address this, the same marriage, I mean, same sex, equal rights. So now people get to participate in life like normal people, you know. And the thing is that, you know, obviously people that in the LGBT community have lived their lives despite of what people said. But now it's like, you know, so You don't have to like what they do, but you have to be tolerant that there's people that are not like you.
Right.
You know, and that's what people don't understand. You know, everybody wants to impose their point of view, and it's both sides. The liberals and the conservatives. Everybody's like, our way is right and your way is wrong.
Here's the thing. There is a separation of church and state for a reason. However, there are lines that are blurred. So when you get married in a court of law, it's hard to say that then that's just a religious, you know, sacrament or whatever it is, because it's in a court of law.
Right.
It's You've not already a religious ceremony. Like lost the argument when people can get married in courts and there's a marriage license. Like, unless it's strictly religious and people are getting married in temples and churches and like it's only a religious thing,
right,
there are legalities involved. So when the court can judge whether humans can get married or not, and it's not based on religion, like a Jew can't marry a Christian or whatever it is, it's outside of the realm of religion.
Right.
When we're talking Republicans and Democrats, those right. people aren't, it's not based in religion. It has to like move away from that at some point.
Right. But you know what? Not everybody's given religious reasons. That's not the only reason people oppose it. You know, they're saying it could hurt society.
But
you know,
those are the people that are also like, okay, so Republicans are conservatives that were once based in religion, or some of them still are. And then people that, you know, run on platforms of being God-fearing human beings or whatever they are.
Right.
First of all, why is anybody God-fearing? That guy's supposed to, that guy
yeah,
or girl
why are you afraid
is supposed
of
to be,
yeah.
you know, loving and compassionate and accepting and not judgmental and not hateful. And, you know, somebody you should be feared, you know, you should fear. But anyway, there's so many things that like, okay, if we're now making marriage a right and it's in the court of law, it has to be free from religion.
Right.
Because right. then what about other things that are decided upon in law? Are we going to go into religion for all of those things too?
Yeah. Well, the truth is many of the laws we have today are based on religious stuff from the past.
Right. We also didn't have iPhone watches. So I think things are evolving and yeah. we need to evolve with it.
That's true. That's true. And but the thing is, some people are just worried about what's going to happen to society. I'm not saying it's rational, but people are feeling, you know, if kids don't have like a father and a mother, then, you know, it's going to hurt society and things like that. So it's not all religious, you know, and we have to remember that.
Of course.
But at the same time, you know, I can't argue against freedom. You know, I mean, I came here because it's a free country, and many people come here for that, and we pride ourselves in that. And I don't think there's room for discrimination like that, you know, and for making people's lives. The bottom line is that if you're born that way, then how can you hold somebody responsible
right.
and say that they're wrong?
And that they don't have certain rights.
Yeah.
It doesn't, I mean, obviously, I'm not the people that disagree with it. I'm the people that agree with it. So
right.
I don't relate to that thought process. But
right.
I also think that if we want to get into studies shown, there are children that grow up with gay parents that are way happier children and way, you know, more fortunate or whatever it is than some kids that grow up with a mother and a father.
Yeah, there you go. You know, that's a good argument.
I mean, and there are studies that are shown, you know, there's facts that can go into this. So if you want to say facts versus religion or just beliefs, then we can have that conversation. Or the United States can. I mean, I'm definitely not going to get involved in that. But I don't know. People just need to get over things and need to move on. Focus yeah. on your life and your family.
Exactly. That's what you need. And it's called live and let live.
Right.
Right?
I come from that school of thought.
Yeah. No, I know. Me too. It's like enough. Because look, when you're the opposite of that, when you're the opposite of tolerant and open and stuff, you become like those extremists with Sharia law and stuff, you know, where it's like if you don't live the way we tell you, you die.
Right. I mean, to me, that's a little like terrorism in the sense, like, on a smaller scale, like people that are so judgmental that they persecute you, you know, I mean,
yeah.
who are you? Yeah. You're a freaking terrorist.
Yeah.
That's what you are.
The decency police, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And why do you, you don't get to decide what other people do. You just don't.
Yeah.
Unless they're killing or harming somebody. Two people getting married that love each other is not harming you.
Right. No, exactly. And these are the things, you know, people focus on the wrong things too.
Obviously,
you know.
Bananas.
I mean, guys are not the. I mean, gays are not the enemy here. They're part of us. The enemy is trying to destroy us. So,
yeah.
You know. So I'm glad about that, and it was a big day for a lot of people. You know, so I could understand the the excitement and the happiness and the celebration.
Yeah, I mean, I cried. Lauren cried. Like, really? Anybody I spoke to was very moved by the whole thing because you're a human. So it doesn't. It's not just affecting the gay community or you know who the law stands for. It's for everybody. I mean, I'm a heterosexual female that has gay friends that are going to get married, hopefully, because they have a child.
Right.
And their child, by the way, lives a very glorious life.
Yeah.
I asked them to adopt me because she lives a very charmed, loved life.
Yeah.
And there are two gay men that have a daughter.
Yeah.
And they've had her since she was born, and she's 7 years old now.
You see, and that's the thing. When it becomes personal, you really start empathizing with people, you know?
Absolutely.
So maybe a good idea is get yourself one or two gay friends, you know, and see see how the other half lives.
Here's the thing. You know, there are communities within our country that are only white people, are only black people, are only Jewish people, and that's what they know. So if you're not raised with anybody else, all you know is the news and what you can decide based on what you see in the news. So if you see a certain community commits crimes or a certain community does this and causes all this commotion, you may pass judgment based on that because you don't personally know them. So I get where the ignorance...
And plus, a lot of shit is being put into your head as well.
I'm sure. But that's the thing, is that is all you know. So I understand ignorance causes these kinds of issues, but thankfully there are lots of other people too that know more about the world and are helping push these laws into society.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe that it passed, and it's amazing that it did. Yeah. And that it was federal, and people say it should be by the state, but aren't we all one country?
Yeah, exactly. Who cares about the states? You know, I mean, the thing is, some things are local, but not this. This is definitely human rights, you know?
Right.
If nothing else. So this is good. There was one more thing I wanted to say about it, but I forgot. Oh, that, I think you should definitely know, what you're talking about before you do, you know. And like you said, you know, I think to empathize with someone, you have to really, you have to get close to them. You have to understand them, you know. And some of the nicest people I know are gay and very, I mean, look at our culture. I mean, so much talent, so much compassion we've seen from gay people, from the gay community and stuff. I don't see reason for so much hatred against them.
Yeah, I don't either.
You know what I'm
saying?
It's
just because they're different.
Yeah.
Or because one line in the Bible said, like, not to do sodomy.
Yeah.
I mean, there were other people in the Bible that were gay, and there have been gay people for the, like, entirety.
Right.
I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, the Bible is full of every sexual story you can think of.
Exactly.
It's another story.
Also, that book was written a real long time ago, guys.
It really was.
Maybe somebody should write like a new version.
Right. But you know what? There's a lot of stuff to learn from it. You
absolutely
know? I mean, look, if we took most of our Western laws were based on the Ten Commandments. You know?
Yeah.
And so we have to remember that it's part of our culture. We can't just erase it completely.
No, and I think that it should be seen more as history versus law.
Right, exactly.
Because those people, okay, so why are we, this is just going to get crazy, I'm sure, but why do we hold truth and fact to something that was written so long ago? Why were those people more evolved than what we are today?
Right.
Without computers, without information, without fact, without science, without all the studies that came since then.
Right. And people like to say that, like, look at the pyramids, they were more intelligent than we are and all that stuff.
But we're building, like, other things too
that are more amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's really great that they built pyramids. But then what? Like, are we going to stop there and say they knew everything and we know nothing? We're essentially calling ourselves stupid. How about we're more evolved? And if we're more evolved, then we should write a more evolved Bible. And that thing should be really inclusive of all the people that exist today because we have evolved.
Right.
So I don't know.
And the book claims that it's appropriate for all generations and stuff. So it's not like they excluded the future in the beginning, you know. But the thing is that it was obviously written for people that were not as intelligent as we are. And that's what people don't understand. It was written in order to promote societies and family and things like that, right. You know.
And that worked
to people that were lawless.
Right. And that worked for the people of that time.
Right.
And it worked, and it provided great lessons and structure for the future. But now the future is here.
Right.
And, okay, so, I may know more about computers and things like that than my parents. My kids are going to be even smarter than me.
Right.
But then they should have laws and things like that that reflect those times.
Right.
Because I have no idea what is going to happen in the future with cyber stuff and laws and,
But there's the universal stuff, like not to hurt other people.
Exactly. And that should be true regardless. But
right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
In the Ten Commandments, it also doesn't say to not be gay.
Yeah.
It says don't kill people.
Yeah.
Don't cheat.
Right. They're saying that the bottom line of the Bible is love thy neighbor.
Yeah.
You know,
I think we should go by two principles: love thy neighbor and live and let live. Bye.
Yeah.
Cool. Just be nice, you idiots.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, it doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. But that's why. I mean,
yeah.
That's where I stand, and I try not to speak on things I'm not educated upon, like and things I do not relate to. So I can't judge really people that are ignorant or have their beliefs because that's what they know.
Right.
I wasn't raised that way.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's all relative.
If you ask my parents our prayers, it's like Happy Friday. Yeah. We're like on. My dad says, my favorite prayer he says is, they tried to kill us, we won, let's eat. Like, that could also be true for not just Jewish people, for everybody.
But it's true.
You know, at a gay marriage, they could, their wedding, you could say, they tried to kill us, we won, let's get married.
I know. Everybody wants to kill everybody. What's going on there?
I don't know. Let people live.
Yeah. Why do people want to kill everybody? I don't understand.
It's a vicious cycle because the people that want to kill everyone, we have to fight against the people that want to kill. So then we have to fight even though we weren't necessarily going to fight. And it's making people more violent than anybody ever needed to be.
Right. But then that's the thing, is that you have to defend yourself so you don't have a choice.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're drawn into violence whether you want to or not by the people who do.
Yeah.
So they caught the second escapee from prison, right?
Yep.
They shot him and caught him near the Canadian border. Apparently, they had planned to go to Mexico.
Yeah.
I don't know how they planned to get that far.
Well, I think they probably were going to go to Canada and go from Canada to Mexico. Because they would leave from Canada.
Mm.
They couldn't get on a plane here, clearly.
Okay. Because they were supposed to be picked up by that woman that was arrested that helped them, Joyce Mitchell.
Yeah.
And she was supposed to pick them up and head to Mexico. So I don't know if they were going to fly from Canada or what, but it just says they were heading to Mexico with a car. But at any rate, for those who don't know, the first one was killed, and this one was shot and captured, and I guess now he's in critical condition. Just look how much money and manpower had to be spent on this guy.
100 cops picked up this guy because one lone cop saw him.
Really?
And called in for, backup, and 100 cops showed up.
Wow.
For one guy.
Yeah. Well, it's not excessive when sometimes you see three fire trucks come into a place just because there was a call of something small, that one truck can handle just fine. They have four trucks. I guess it's always better to overreact, You don't want to be caught shorthanded, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for today, folks. I was going to talk about Donald Trump, but that can always wait for another day.
Yeah, it can.
Right?
Yes.
I just think he's such a joke, this guy. But we listen to him because he has money, If he didn't have any money, who would even listen to him?
You know what? He's entertaining to me more than he is anything else. He sort of makes this political race a little bit more fun.
Yeah, like the clown.
It's like he's the weird celebrity in the race.
Yeah.
It's just fun.
It is. Well, we'll see. I mean, he's number two in polls in New Hampshire, believe it or not.
Well, who's asking?
Out of 11 people.
New Hampshire's small.
Yeah, that's true, but they do count in the election.
Apparently.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.